Father, we thank you for the freedom to gather really unmolested from the government and officials at the moment. And yet, Lord, all of that doesn't really, not the main thing. The main thing is you, our hearts, with respect to you. And so, Lord, as we look at a glorious reminder of your second coming this morning in the Psalms, Lord, help us to open our hearts to what does that really mean to us. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess my first question is, are you ready for his coming?
Yes.
You know, we spend all of our time on what might happen. What if? And I think we'd be much better off if we would focus on what we know will happen. And the only thing we really know for sure that's going to happen is his second coming. Or there's nothing as sure as that, because he's promised that he is coming. So Psalm 97 today, and we're starting. But Psalm 97, actually Psalm 95 through 99 are all in the same kind of subject, and that is about our Lord reigning. You know, we don't have to go to the polls to see that our king is going to reign. We don't have to vote him in. I hope we vote him in our hearts.
Yes.
But he's coming no matter what. So Psalm 97 is celebrating the second coming. This really is a scene of the millennial reign, and of course thereafter as well. And we begin, "The Lord reigns." And we say amen to that. The Lord reigns. Is he reigning in your heart? Is there anything close to him in your heart? That's idolatry, no matter what it is. "Let the earth rejoice." You see, immediately this moves to the post-tribulation period, because never will the earth rejoice until Christ returns. You might have little pockets rejoicing, but you're never going to have the whole earth rejoicing until Christ returns. "Let the multitude of isles." What are the isles? Well, the isles are the coastlands, and with Israel's respect, it was everybody across the sea. So that would include us. We're across the sea. "Let the multitude of isles be glad." Now we have a little description of him. Clouds and darkness surround him. Deuteronomy 4, 10, 11 are two great verses. There's others in the Exodus and Numbers of the scene at Mount Sinai early on in the wilderness march when God appeared in clouds and darkness and fire, and everybody trembled. The earth trembled. There was an earthquake as well. Well, this is indicative of who we're talking about, of his awesome power. But notice what his foundation of his righteous throne will be, or his salvation of his throne will be: righteousness and justice. Don't we long for that? The first part in us and the second part in everybody but us. We don't want justice, do we? But he has given us grace and mercy. But when we say, "Oh, I hope they get theirs," or, "Oh, you know, the Lord should do something about this wicked one," he will. He will purge away all sin and darkness on the basis of righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. "A fire goes up before him and burns up his enemies round about." If you picture the Battle of Armageddon for just a moment, that will be a concentration of all of the firepower of the world of man against God. And as we read what will happen, "His eyes are like a fire, and with a word, the enemies are all destroyed." All destroyed. So as we see the wicked today, we should be praying for them. They are treasuring up by their testimony what's ahead for them. They can always turn, but short of turning to the Lord and repenting and turning to the Lord, they've sealed their destiny. It is their choice of rejecting Jesus Christ and choosing to spend eternity apart from him. God never sends anybody to hell, never has, never will. And he will put all kinds of obstacles in front of anybody who continues to reject him. But there is a point where man chooses where he wants to go, because God allows us to choose where we want to spend eternity. And we all want heaven, but heaven is only for those who love him. It wouldn't be heaven otherwise, would it? His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. You know, one of the things about mountain country, I'm talking about real mountain country, like the Alps or like the Rockies and places, where, I mean, you look up and as high as you can get your head back, you still can hardly see the tops of those things, and just think they'll all melt like wax. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, and then it repeats it again, at the presence of the Lord of what? The whole earth. Again, millennial period, post-tribulation period, the whole earth is that period. The presence of the Lord, the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness. Sounds like Psalm 19, doesn't it? The heavens declare his righteousness, and all, anytime you see all the people, again, that's talking about millennial reign and thereafter. It's never will be all the people before that. But all the people see his glory. Now, as victory over idolatry and so forth, let all, we have a number of alls in these scriptures, always do, let all be put to shame who served carved images. So that's goodbye to a lot of people, isn't it? Let all who put to shame, who serve carved images, who boast of idols, many of them say they're gods themselves. Then it says, worship him, everybody, all you gods, all you little gods, worship him. Even your idols worship him, although I don't know that stones and wood will really worship him that much, but worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad. And the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. Again, the millennial reign. You are exalted far above all gods. So that's the picture there. Now, we have an exhortation here, and this is the part that I think we particularly want to kind of pay attention to. And we can say at this time, it's any time, but certainly at this time, right, when we see our government in chaos and control change and so forth, and, oh, no, what if this guy gets in, that guy gets in, and all this other stuff? What are we to do? Well, we're not to wring our hands. But here's what we're to do. You who love the Lord, do you love the Lord? What's the first great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength. Do you? Do you? Do I? Do we? So you who love the Lord, what do you do? Hate evil. You know, hatred of evil is not a term that you hear today anymore, really, anywhere, in the church, out of the church, basically. I don't think very much. But we want to hate what God hates, right? God hates evil. We're told to tolerate every form of evil. Who do you think you are anyway? You can't say I'm doing the wrong thing. You know, wouldn't it be great to pick up, I don't know, paper, you don't have papers anymore, but anyway, look at whatever news kind of a thing it is and said, you know, an evil law has just been passed, or an evil man has just been elected. How long do you think that would get taken off of Twitter and Facebook and all those other stuff? But here, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Now, don't get that all mixed up with judging other people. We don't want to judge their motives, but we want to judge what they do. And when they're doing evil, we want to hate it. We want to gently try to show them that's not what the Bible says, and that's wrong. Yes, but the government says it's okay. Well, I don't. What difference does it make what the government says? The government's not going to determine where you spend eternity, is it? Hate evil. And here are the promises. For those who love him, he preserves the souls of the saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. I think those promises will be put to the test much more in the days ahead in this nation than they have in the past. Right now, and all through history, there's always been persecution of the church. The persecution has never really been in this country that we've seen in other areas of the world yet. But when we turn away from the Lord, we're no different than any other country, are we? See how Israel was judged, how the northern kingdom was judged, and 100 years later, plus a few years, the southern kingdom was judged. And that's the wife of God, Israel. We don't see anywhere in the scripture where the United States is the wife of God. Yeah, but we were founded on Christian principles. We were. But are we living on those today? And more, the answer, I think, is no. But we're all headed towards this great tribulation. I say we all, I mean the whole world is. But he preserves the souls. Isn't that great? Your soul is preserved. And what will last forever? Only the word of God and your soul. The only two things that will last forever. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Stay strong in the Lord no matter what, and he will take care of you. Light is sown for the righteous. Wonderful. Not by the righteous, it's for the righteous. But we're to be light too, aren't we? And gladness for the upright in heart. Is your heart filled with gladness? Not on the circumstances, but on him and on what's ahead and what he has done for us. Verse 12, rejoice. We've read that before, haven't we? Rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. And give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. So just three short verses there on exhortation. Love the Lord, hate evil, rest in his promises. He's going to preserve the souls of his saints, delivering them out of the hand of the wicked. We have light sown for us. We have gladness in our heart. We're to rejoice in the Lord, and we're to give thanks at the remembrance of his name. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we just thank you for the exhortation and how we need that, Lord. We need to be reminded of how we are to live, Lord, today and every day that you give us, really, Lord. And you've given us the access to come directly to you in prayer. The veil of the temple was rent in half by you. Price has been paid. The Ark of the Covenant has been replaced by you, Lord Jesus. You are our covenant. You're the new covenant. In your blood, you purchased us. And you taught us, pray, our Father, who art in heaven. So we come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So lead us this morning to kind of seize this opportunity, so to speak, just to praise you, worship you, and pray to you in Jesus' name. Well, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. And I want to just reiterate verse 10 a little bit. I may have hit hate evil too much because most of the prayers were on hating evil, which is good. But reminded of Isaiah for 40 years and Jeremiah for 40 years, first to the northern kingdom, second to the southern kingdom, only one thing God asked, and it was repeated over and over. You have forsaken me. You have forsaken me. You have left me and turned to other gods. That's the problem, right? We know that's a problem in the world. It always has been. It always will be. It's not the evil that's the real problem. It's the evil that's there because of not trusting in him, because he is our defense. Look at all the enemies that always come in when a nation leaves the Lord. We can build walls and we can build bombs and everything else, but that's not the problem. The problem is that we've left the Lord. And here we are. What is our level of love? I do believe that if our level of love is where it should be, we'll hate evil so badly we can't tolerate it. We don't have to think about it. We just can't tolerate it. So where is my love? If I am tolerating evil, my love isn't very strong. And I think, yeah, I can try to be more aware of evil, but I don't think that's the solution. I think the solution is more love. Just want to close here with the old rugged cross. That takes us back to Christ's love for us.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for
think of the price that you paid for us, Lord. The love that you've shown us without limit. Lord, may we have so much of your love in us that everyone that you put us in front of or behind of or in touch with or anything else, that they would want you, Lord. That they would see you in us, Lord. That's what you've asked us to do. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.